Now we're going to turn in our Bibles again to the passage that we read in the Gospel of John chapter 3. And I'm looking this evening at verses 3 to 5. And this is what they say. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." As I've said before, when we've been looking at this passage, that the theme of this passage is this business of being born again. It is a conversation between two men, the Lord Jesus Christ and the leading theologian of his day, a man called Nicodemus. And as we've seen before, this man Nicodemus, yes, he was a Jew. Yes, he was circumcised on the eighth day. And yes, he was brought up in the law of Moses, and he no doubt kept all the food laws of Moses, and no doubt he went to the synagogue regularly and sang the Psalms and heard the scriptures, and he called himself a member of God's kingdom. All these things notwithstanding, he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a child of God. And so he comes to Jesus one night. And he enters into this conversation. And you noticed, or you remember earlier we looked at this, how he began this conversation. And he said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." He was clearly used to this kind of theological conversations where he would go and see somebody and talk to that person about things concerning the Bible. And he no doubt came to Jesus with that intention. Although I think there was more in his heart. I don't think he came just for a simple conversation. I don't think this was just an intellectual exercise for him. I think he was seeking. I think he knew, despite the fact that he was a highly religious man, despite the fact that he'd been religious all his life, despite the fact that he knew his Bible and he sang the Psalms, I think he knew that there was something missing in his life. I think he knew that there was something more and that he needed something more. And he was humble enough to come to Jesus and to speak to him. And we've noticed before that when he came to Jesus, he wasn't like other Pharisees who had come to Jesus. Other Pharisees, when they had come to Jesus, had attacked him. And they had brought charges against him. "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Or, "Why does your master," they say to the disciples, "why does your master eat with sinners and with tax collectors?" So the other Pharisees, when they came, they would come with charges, they would come with attacks. But this man comes with humility. And he says to Jesus, "Rabbi, teacher, we know that you've come from God. For no one would do the works that you do unless God were with him." And so I think there was this desire in him to know more. And do you know, this is the great condition of all who are not truly Christian. Perhaps as you're listening to me this evening, perhaps you're listening later on YouTube, you're listening on the disc. And perhaps you, like Nicodemus, you're a religious person. You were born to Christian parents and you were taken to church as a baby. You were baptized and you've been going to church all your life. And perhaps you think to yourself, "Well, I am a Christian." And perhaps you've even thought that you've made a response to the gospel. And there are people who think, "Well, I've made a response to the gospel." And you know, just because you raise your hand at a meeting, you go forward at a meeting, and you repeat a prayer, do you know that doesn't mean you're born again? That is not necessarily the way. Now, God does use that way. I'm not denying that. But as we will see, This is something that God does. So perhaps you're thinking to yourself, there is more, and perhaps I should be looking for more. And I say to you, unless you know the love of God in your heart, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a personal relationship with Christ, you know him as your Savior, you love him. Every time you think of Jesus, there is love in your heart towards him. And your mind is filled with pleasant thoughts of Jesus. How lovely he is. How wonderful he is. Your mind is filled with thoughts of Jesus and how precious he is to you. And every time you read about Jesus, every time you read his words, your heart begins to be thrilled because you're reading about your Savior. You're reading words that your Savior spoke. And you love him. There is love in your heart for him. If that isn't your experience, then perhaps you need to examine yourself and be like Nicodemus, humble. And say to yourself, perhaps I need to know more. Perhaps I need to look into this. And perhaps I never have been born again. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus and they have this conversation. Nicodemus opens the conversation with those words, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus' first words are these, truly, 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 truly. In other words, without a shadow of a doubt, very definitely, Nicodemus. In other words, Nicodemus, these words I'm about to speak to you, underline them three times. They are hugely important. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then the conversation continues, and Jesus teaches him about being born again. That's what this whole passage is about. If you've never been born again, you've often thought to yourself, what is all this? Some people tell me they're born again Christians. I hear on the radio, on the TV, people who are born again Christians. What is all this born again? Well, this is the passage where Jesus teaches about being born again. And tonight and in the coming weeks, I want to try and explain this whole matter. So our theme this evening is very simply being born again. And I'm going to say three things from this passage. I'm not going to be very long, but I'm going to say three things from this passage about being born again. And I urge you, please listen carefully. This is a hugely important passage because this matter, being born again, decides whether you will be in heaven or in hell when you die. It really is as important as that. What decides whether you're going to be in heaven or in hell when you die? Are you born again? That's what decides it. Are you born again? So what Jesus is teaching here is of the greatest importance. It is of eternal importance. If you're interested in heaven, interested in going to heaven, well, here it is. Here is Jesus' teaching. So three things from this passage about being born again. And the first is this. It is, as I've already indicated, it is absolutely necessary. It is absolutely necessary. I repeat to you the words that Jesus spoke. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then a little later, in verse 5, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, which is saying the same thing in a slightly different way, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then in verse 7, he says to Nicodemus, do not marvel, Nicodemus, do not be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. This is not an optional extra. This is not something that you might say to yourself, well, if I can do it, well, that would be wonderful. But if I can't, well, that doesn't really matter too much. You know, there are some things like that. There are some things like that in the Christian faith. And you would say, well, if you can do such and such a thing, well, that would be great. But if you can't, well, it doesn't really matter. It's not as if heaven and hell depend upon it. But this does matter. You must be born again. Now, in other passages in the Bible, God explains to us why it is absolutely necessary. And the answer is very simple. Why must I be born again? And the answer is because until we are born again, we are spiritually dead. You see, we have two ways of living. We have our biological lives. We are living biologically. That's why today you were able to turn on your computer and go into Zoom. That's why you're able to listen to me. You have biological life. But there is also something the Bible calls spiritual life. And we all have biological life, but we don't all have spiritual life. Indeed, when we are born biologically, we are born spiritually dead. This is how the Bible calls it. And a person who is spiritually dead, it simply means that person does not have any personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. He is not related in any way to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary has brought no benefit, no profit to that person. They do not know the forgiveness of their sin. They do not know what it means to be a child of God. They do not know what it means to have a real hope of heaven. They are outside of Christ, outside of the kingdom of God. Yes, Nicodemus was a religious person. And of course, Nicodemus had biological life. He came to Jesus. He walked and he spoke and he listened and he thought and he discussed. So he had all the faculties that biological man has, but he had no spiritual life. He didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. He didn't know new life through faith alone in Christ alone. And the Bible says, unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God and we cannot enter the kingdom of God. We were thinking this morning, or we referred this morning to the 1859 revival in Ireland. And there was a preacher who went from England to Ireland to preach during the 1859 revival. And he spoke about a man who went into hell. And he said, he went into hell for one reason. He never had life when he was on earth. He had never come to Jesus and he had never been saved through faith in Jesus. And he had never known the forgiveness of his sins through faith in Jesus. Apparently this was a sermon that was preached in the open air in Dublin. And apparently this one sermon had seen hundreds converted on the streets of Dublin back in the 19th century. Because God the Spirit had used this man's preaching to show these people that yes, they were religious and the people who were listening to him were religious. And yes, they'd been born Roman Catholics and they'd been baptized in the Catholic faith, but they'd never been born again. And here was Jesus' teaching, you must be born again. So the first thing that we see in this passage about being born again is that it is absolutely necessary. Jesus himself says it. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. The second thing I want us to see about being born again is this. It is the work of God. It is the work of God. The Bible in various places teaches about this phenomenon being born again. And every time the Bible teaches about it, The Bible makes it clear to us, it is not something we do to ourselves. It is something that God does to us. If you flick back in your Bibles to John's Gospel chapter 1, we're reading chapter 3, but if you look at chapter 1 and from verse 12, you will find some words again about being born again or becoming the children of God. It's the same thing. Those who are born again are the children of God. And here it says in John 1 from verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And then John explains how they became children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They weren't born of blood. And I think that means of descent. And it means, yes, I'm a born again Christian. And my wife was a born again Christian. But that doesn't mean when my children were born, they were born again Christians. This is what John 1, 12 and 13 is saying. It's saying you can have a couple and they're both born again Christians. But that doesn't mean their children will be born again Christians. Their children have to experience the new birth. So he's saying not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but born of God. It is God, says the Bible, that does this work. A little bit later in the New Testament, we have the book of James. And James writes about being born again. And James says, of his own will, he's speaking about God. And he says, God, of his own will, has made us born again. And again, a little bit later in the New Testament, before the letter of James, we have the letter to the Ephesians. And Paul writing to the Ephesians, and he says to them, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And then he says to them, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive. Has made us alive. You see that passive voice. In other words, we are made alive. We don't make ourselves alive. Now, of course, when you think about the language, it makes sense. You imagine a person has died and they're there in the morgue. You imagine, for example, in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, actually, there was a man called Lazarus who died. And they put his body in the tomb. This is what they used to do with dead bodies. They put his body in the tomb. And the body was there in the tomb 4 days. Now, of course, Lazarus doesn't, while he's lying there in the tomb, think to himself, I've had enough of being in this tomb. I'm getting a little bit bored and it's rather cold and dark in here. I think I'll make myself alive again. He didn't think because he was dead. Dead people don't think. And dead people don't make decisions. Dead people don't do anything. He just lies there dead. And then after 4 days, Jesus came and Jesus went to the mouth of the tomb and Jesus spoke words. And it is the word of God, carried by the Spirit of God, that makes a person born again. And the illustration was found in the raising of Lazarus. Jesus stood at the tomb and Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And it's because the Son of God spoke the word of God. And those words were taken to Lazarus by the Spirit of God. And Lazarus was made alive by God. It was God's power that made him alive. And once Lazarus came back to life, he could then respond to God's word and obeyed what Jesus did and came out of the grave. God makes us alive. And once God has made us alive, we then respond to his command to repent of our sins and to believe in Jesus. But God must first make us born again. We are first made born again, and then we respond to Jesus. We repent of our sins. We put our faith in him, and we are saved through faith in Jesus. It is the work of God. Now, if you're a Christian here this evening, this is of great comfort to you, because it tells you that God has done a wonderful work in your heart. And the Bible says, he who has begun the good work will see it to completion. This is our guarantee of heaven. If God has made you born again, God will see you fit for heaven. If God has made you born again, God will see to it that you are transformed into the image of Jesus, that all remaining sin in you will be removed, and you will be ready on the day that you meet with Jesus, whether you die first or he returns first. It doesn't matter. It is definite that if God has begun this work in you by making you born again, he will continue the work. He will complete the work, and he will present you perfect to his Father in heaven, because he has begun the work. So if you're a Christian here this evening, praise God that it is God who has made you a Christian. It is God who has made you born again. It is God who has given you spiritual life. And once God has given you spiritual life, you can never lose that life. It is God-given. And it is eternal life. You will never lose it. And if you're not a Christian as you listen to me, perhaps you're listening later on YouTube, on disc, and you're not a Christian, do you know this again is of great comfort to you? Because what this is saying is, if you want to be a Christian, all you have to do is ask God. It's God who makes you born again. It's God who gives you spiritual life. It's God who, by his Spirit, removes your heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. It is God who does this work. So God isn't saying to you, if you want to go to heaven, it's a tough road, you know. You have to do this, 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 and here's a long list of things you have to do, and you have to do them all perfectly, and you have to do them all consistently. If you don't do them all perfectly and consistently, you won't enter heaven. God doesn't say that to you. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. God says, come, you who have no money, you have no means to buy, come to the waters, come buy bread and milk, come for a rich banquet, come to me, and I will give salvation, eternal life, freely to you. All you have to do is go to God. And all, you know, if you don't know how to pray, all you have to say to him is, Lord, make me born again. Just a few words. Just say to him, Lord, I can see I need to be born again. Will you make me born again? And God will. It is his work. The Bible says salvation is God's work. So we're looking at this being born again, and we've seen in the first place that it is absolutely necessary. We've seen also that it is the work of God. And then the third thing I want to say about it this evening, and it is this, that it is a radical work. It's a radical work. And what I mean by that is that it's such a tremendous work that it must be seen by its effects. It is not the kind of thing which happens and then there are no results from it. You know how sometimes you do something, I did this earlier in the summer. I went into a shop and I got some seed because there was an area in my garden which didn't have any flowers, and I love flowers. And I thought, I'll buy some seed and I'll put them in the soil and I'll feed them and water them and we'll see flowers. And I looked at the packet, and I promise you, I did everything that it said in the packet. I only dug the amount that it said you should dig, and I planted the seed as I was told I should, and I covered it up again, and I put some feed on it, and I watered it. And then I looked for flowers, and I looked for flowers, and I looked for flowers, and I didn't see a single flower. Well, that sometimes happens. There was work done. but that work produced no effect. And we've all known experiences like that in various ways. Work is done, but that work produces no effect. But this work of God making a person born again is not like that. This is God's work. And God's work never fails to have effect. Because God's work is perfect. God never makes a mistake. God never does anything carelessly. God never cuts corners. God's work never lacks power or wisdom. All of God's works have an effect. We may not see the effect straight away, but all of God's works have an effect. They're all seen in some way or another. Everything that God works has an effect. And this work that God does has an effect. Because it says in the Bible that God, when he makes a person born again, renews that person from within. God makes that person a new person from within. God removes his heart and gives him a new heart. God changes that person from within. That person's essential character has changed. Now, if God has done such a work, the effects have to be seen. And there is a teaching in the New Testament. Now, please listen to it. It's very, very important. There is a teaching in the New Testament, and it says this. If a person is not living a born-again life, he never has been born again. The New Testament is very clear on this. And the New Testament doesn't make excuses like we do. And the New Testament doesn't say, well, of course, there's this reason and that reason. You read the first letter of John, and you read other parts of the passage of the New Testament. And the teaching is very clear. If a person really is born again, they will live a born again life. And if a person isn't living a born again life, it's because they never have been born again. This is what the Apostle John, the man who wrote this gospel, this is what he says repeatedly in his first letter. He says, if we claim to be in the light, but are actually walking in darkness, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He says, if we claim to be Christians, but we hate the brethren, we're only deceiving. We're only telling lies. We're not telling the truth at all. If we claim to be Christians, but we don't believe what the Bible says, particularly what the Bible says about Jesus, well, we're only lying. We're not telling the truth. You know, from the mouth, it's very easy to say all kinds of things. But this change is a radical change. It's a radical work. Do you know why it's such a wonderful thing to read the Bible? Because you see tremendous stories of how people's lives were changed. We all like reading biographies, don't we? I'm told that the most commonly read type of book is a biography. And people, whether it's secular or Christian, people love reading biographies. And I can understand that. I find people's lives very interesting, and I read biographies. And if you read a biography of a person whose life has undergone a tremendous change, that's an exciting biography. Now, if you've never read the Bible, can I whet your appetite? The Bible is full of stories of people whose lives were radically changed. Because God made them born again. God removed their heart of stone, their heart of sin, and God gave them a new heart. God gave them a new spirit. God gave them eternal life. God brought them out of darkness into his kingdom. God made them his beloved children. God poured his love into their hearts, and people's lives were radically changed, dramatically changed. There are people in the New Testament, you read their lives, and you wonder, could this really have happened? If you are a Christian or you've read the Bible in any way at all, you'll have heard about a man called the Apostle Paul. And he's a wonderful example. And how he hated Christ, and he hated Christians, and he was persecuting Christians, and he wanted to destroy Christians. And then one day on the road to Damascus, he meets with Jesus. And Jesus makes him born again. And so literally is a new being. He says later, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. And that's what had happened to him. That was his testimony. Because when he walked into the city of Damascus, it wasn't the man who had left Jerusalem full of anger and bitterness and hatred towards Christians. The man who walked into Damascus was a man who loved Christians, loved Christ, and wanted to preach Christ. A dramatic change, but he's not the only one. You read about a city of called Ephesus, and these people who worshipped a stone idol. And their lives were given over to the worship of this stone idol. They would go to the temple of this stone idol and they would bow down before her and they would chant her name for hours on end because they were brought up in idolatry and they worshiped this idol. And then one day the gospel, the message of the Bible came to their city and these people were born again by the Spirit of God and they left their idolatry. They no longer worship this stone idol. And people who did business out of the stone idol began to lose their businesses. And they left all their former practices of witchcraft and came to Christ and lived lives honoring to him. A complete transformation, a radical change. Because they were born again. So being born again is absolutely necessary. If you are not born again, you will not enter heaven. It is the work of God. God himself does this work. And you must go to him and ask him to do this work in you. And it's a radical work. It's a work that brings about a huge change in the life and the character and the destiny of the person who has experienced it. You must be born again.